Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Tan and Nicole. And I just want to say how honored I am that to walk with a group of people that we celebrate one another. And so anyways, let's get into our text this morning. This morning, we're going to be in Matthew 22, but that's not going to be the only text we're going to be in. But Matthew 22, verses 37 to 38, a very, very familiar passage. This is the great commandment. And Jesus says this in Matthew 22, verse 37. He says this, and Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment." And so I want to highlight this this morning and throughout this next month is this idea that Jesus, you know what? He's demanding all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. Like Jesus, he's just selfish enough to want all of you for himself. And so I can remember like hearing this message, and maybe you've heard it before, and I get what people are saying, but there'll be ministers or people get up and it's like, hey, come to Jesus to receive the free gift of salvation. And so I remember hearing that, and I know what they're saying. And is it a free gift? Absolutely. Is it going to cost you everything? Absolutely. Because Jesus wants all of you. So I was recalling the story of Tiger Woods, and this wasn't this is pre-affair, pre-back surgeries, Tiger Woods. This is the Tiger Woods that is just churning out major championships over and over and over again. And Tiger would actually have these little Nike camps, and he would get together, and it'd be by invitation only, and these wannabe golfers would gather around the great guru, Tiger Woods, and then they would begin to ask him golfing questions. But one man raised his hand, and he didn't have a golfing question, but he raised his hand and he asked the great Tiger Woods this. They said, "Mr. Woods, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you don't, would you be interested in receiving Jesus right now?" And so there was just a collective, like, awkward silence in the room, but Tiger, just in his unflappable self, he was quick to respond, and he says, "Thank you for your question." And he says, "I'm sure you know this." He says, "My dad's Christian, but my mom is a Buddhist, and so I'm both." And so, listen, in our kind of relativistic, pluralistic kind of culture today, that might be okay in our culture, but you know who it's not okay with? It's not okay with Jesus, because Jesus wants all of you. He says, "I've come for all of your heart. Love me with all your strength. Love me with all your mind, not some of your strength, not some of your heart." And so Jesus, he just wants all of you. Listen, have you ever been put on the spot? Like that awkward thing where you do and you're just kind of in front of everybody and now, okay, now what am I going to supposed to say? And I can remember Susan and I, we were just kids. We were like 17, 18 years old, you know, just high school sweethearts. And I remember we were kicking around the mall sometime, because that's just what young people do. And we were kicking around the mall, and then Susan says, "Hey, let's go into this jewelry store." Well, that's fine with me. I have nothing to lose because I have nothing. I was making about 40 bucks every other week Canadian. I think that's like $5 American, okay? And so I was making no money, so whatever, babe, we can go in and look. And so we're looking at all these rings, and then as we're talking, Serge is helping us. And so as Serge is helping us look at all these rings, and I notice he's putting them on and he's like really working it up with Susan. "Oh, that looks good. Oh, but your hand is so dainty." And then until finally he kind of slows down a minute, and then he looks at me and he says, "Hey, sir, congratulations. And when's the big date? When's the wedding set for?" And I was like, ugh. And then it occurred to me, these were engagement rings. We were looking at it. And to be perfectly straight with you, neither of us knew we were looking at engagement rings. Once again, we were young and dumb. And so we're looking at these. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, and all the pressure's on me. And despite the fact Susan didn't know we were looking at engagement rings, she did stop, pause, and look at me. Yeah, when is the date? And whatever. And so I very awkwardly had to say, no, sir, we're not looking for engagement rings. And then he asked me this question, then what are you looking for? And that's our question for today. And I just want to warn you right out of the get-go, I'm going to put you on the spot today. And so you might be uncomfortable. This might feel awkward, but I pray you have the courage to answer the difficult questions. And so, Lord, we thank you for grace today as we gather around your word and we answer the question, what are you looking for? And so here's the text I want to really bore down on. It's Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 27. Mark 8, starting in verse 27, it reads like this. It says, "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.'" And so, listen, Peter almost never gets it right. And then we see in this scene, Peter, he hits it out of the park. Like people are asking, "Hey, what's the word on the street? Who do people say Jesus is?" And he's like, "Man, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're some kind of prophet." And Peter says what? He says, "You are the Christ." That means that you are the unique Son of God come to save the world. You are Jesus, the anointed one. And so it's funny when you read the account in Matthew, even Jesus is surprised because he pauses for a minute. He's like, "Man, Peter, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. It must have been my Father because you're not that sharp," right? And so even Jesus was surprised by Peter just hitting it out of the park by, "You are the Christ." But before we start pumping Peter's tires too quickly, it was going to be very, very short-lived. But Peter answered the question properly. What are you looking for? And are you looking for the Christ? And so this morning, we're going to do a little DTR, define the relationship, your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let's kind of bore down a little bit on this. Some of the word on the street is Jesus. Maybe you're John the Baptist reincarnated. And so, listen, that's not too far gone. There's people today that you approach Jesus like they approached John the Baptist back in his time. And so, what are you looking for? Are you just looking for a John the Baptist type figure? Or are you looking for a savior? Do you want a sage or a savior? So, if I was to be honest with you, early in my faith was much more informational than relational. So here's what I mean by that. Like, here's what I wanted. I came to Jesus because I wanted fire insurance. Anybody else? Just didn't want to go to hell. And then I started to realize that, hey, this Bible, if you follow its way, it is the way to live your best possible life. It just is. And so as I began to open up the words of Jesus, I realized, hey, if I do this, I can become the best husband I could ever be. I can become the best athlete I could ever be. I can be the best father I could ever be. And so I was looking in the Word of God for information, but at the expense of relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, listen, are you looking for like a John the Baptist? See, John the Baptist back in his day, he was a sage, a guru, if you will. Like this guy, he was so disciplined, he never drank any alcohol so he could set himself apart unto God, that he ate locusts and wild honey. Listen, I can't even discipline myself to eat vegetables all the time, but not this guy. John, he was nails. He was a disciplined man. How about this? He lived out in the wilderness. In other words, He thrived in the difficult spaces. And so people came from miles and miles around by the thousands to hear this great guru, John the Baptist, show us the way to life. And so I just want to shoot you straight. Like, I do believe that even if I didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ, I would still follow the Word of God. Like, this Bible, I do believe the words and the ways of Jesus will lead you to the best possible life. I just believe it. I think for years what we've said here at Every Nation New Jersey, if you don't think the commands of God lead you to human flourishing, just do the opposite of the Ten Commandments and let me know how your life is working out. You're going to be divorced, imprisoned, you know, possibly dead if you go against God's Big Ten. But if you align your life to those simple Ten Commands, that your life will flourish. And so, there's this kind of false narrative out in the media and whatnot that's the party life, it's the wildlife, man, that's going to lead to like abundance and human flourishing. Do you guys remember that show, Two and a Half Men? Remember that one? Like, it was back in the day, but it was CBS's like big frontline flagship show, the sitcom, and it starred Charlie Sheen. And if you remember Charlie Sheen, he played Charlie Harper in Two and a Half Men. And you remember Charlie Harper, the character, like, he was just kind of this single, sleeping around with kind of every girl he can, getting hammered every night, he always got the girl, he always wound up on top, he sounded like he always just got the win, despite the fact he was living crazy. But do we remember what happened when Charlie Sheen started acting like Charlie Harper? Do you remember what CBS did? They fired his booty. They said, listen, it looks real good in fake TV. He goes, but in real life, we don't like it too much. And so they fired Charlie Sheen. And so, and here's the reality is this, is that if you follow the commands of God, but you lose Jesus, it's just not a win. It's not a win. So you find success, but you lose the Savior. It's not a win. Like Jesus will go on in our text and he'll say this, what good is it if you gain the entire world, but you lose your one and your only soul? And so, Jesus is going to have to be more than just a teacher, than just some kind of good advice success guru. It won't be enough to have him just be your teacher. In fact, if you remember in the scriptures, if you remember the story of the Last Supper, and as Jesus is gathered with his disciples, and do you remember Jesus, he gives just a bit of a kind of Debbie Downer, because he says this, he says, men, one of you amongst me, the one that I'm going to break bread with tonight, you're going to betray me, and I'm going to be crucified. And do you remember, they went around the room, And each disciple was, not me, Lord. Lord, it's not me. Not me, Lord. But one guy said something different. He said, and his name was Judas, and he says, not me, teacher. See, just to have Jesus be a good teacher to you was not going to be enough to sustain you to the other side. And so a little bit of trivia. We've been doing this a lot lately. So can you tell me the number one toy distributor in the world? Do, 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 do. It is McDonald's. Is that crazy? Like McDonald's, they distribute about 1.5 billion toys per year. And it has all to do with their Happy Meal. But here's what's crazy. Do you know that toys are not the point for McDonald's? Burgers are the point for McDonald's. And it's the same way. Like, listen, a successful life is not the point. Jesus is not trying to tell you how to succeed at life. He's trying to show you how to succeed at eternal life. And Jesus is going to say this, this is eternal life, that you might know me. See Jesus, his words and his ways are not just designed to prepare us to succeed here and now, but it's preparing us to do life with him in eternity. And so you have to ask yourself the question this morning, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a sage or a savior? If you're just looking for a sage, then all Jesus wants is your ear. But if you're looking for a savior, then Jesus is going to want all. He wants all of you. What are you looking for? How about the next thing was, so there, some say Jesus is John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And if you're familiar with Elijah in the Old Testament, he was like some kind of magic man. Like he would just, like, miracles and these magnificent feats would take place in Elijah's life. And so what are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus, the magic man, the Elijah-like figure? And listen, early in my Christian walk, I was much more looking for a magic man, someone to bless me. My relationship with Jesus was much more transactional than relational. It was transactional more than relational. And here's what I mean by that. I was like, hey, Jesus, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to swear. All right. Now you bless me. Jesus, I'm going to go to church this week. And here's what I'm trusting. Now you're going to bless me. I'm going to give my tithe. And here's what you're going to do, Jesus. You're going to bless me. It was this transaction. I'll do this and you do that for me, Jesus. And so that was kind of how I rolled with Jesus for a while. But then if you start doing life with Jesus more and more, you'll understand he's not happy with just a transaction. But what? He wants all your heart, mind, soul, your strength. And so I found out that Jesus wasn't after my behavior, that he was after my heart. And those are different things. But if God gets your heart, he'll get your behavior. So here's what I've told the story before, but I've wound up telling all my stories 8 million times. So here's another one. I think it's appropriate. I was trying out for Team USA, and we were having a training camp at in Colorado Springs, the U.S. Olympic Training Center. And so we were there, and listen, I wanted to make the team. And so I was getting up early. I was in my Bible. I was praying. Like I was being the best me I could be. I was on my best behavior. And here's why. Because I know, okay, I'll be good. And God, you bless me and let me make this hockey team. And sure enough, at the end of training camp, I looked and my name was on the roster. I had made the team. Transaction complete. And what did I do that night? I went out and I got drunk with all my teammates. And I can remember as we're bar hopping from place to place in downtown Colorado Springs, this is probably about 2 in the morning, that there was a man on the street corner at 2 a.m. and he was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can we agree that's a bit of a buzzkill? And then right there at that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit with the words of that man begin to just kind of beat me to my knees. Until finally, and I don't know if it was audible or not, but I do know this, that my life was never the same after that night. And I heard the Holy Spirit, as clear as day, say this: is this what you want? Do you want to use me for what I can do for you? Or do you want me? But you're going to have to decide. And that there was a line drawn in the sand for me that day, and my life has never been the same. And so listen, Elijah, he was kind of this magic man, if you will, in your Old Testament. I'll prove it to you. Do you know that Elijah was the first one to raise somebody from the dead? It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And like, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty amazing trick that Elijah did by the power of God. If that's not enough for you, do you know he calls down fire on multiple occasions? At one point, he killed 50 soldiers of King Ahab. And so this is, can we admit, that's a pretty amazing trick. But Jesus, the God in the flesh, you know, he had a few interesting tricks up his sleeve too, didn't he? Healing blind eyes, raising multiple people from the dead, calming storms. And so what do you want? What are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus, the magic man, or are you looking for the Messiah? So I heard this podcast this past week, a guy by the name of Harris III. He's a magician, illusionist. He's also a ferocious follower of Jesus Christ. And he was sharing the story as a young man trying to consolidate how does he use his gift at entertainment and illusion to glorify God. And so he was actually quite successful as a magician traveling around the globe. And he was sharing it at one high school at one point. And it was interesting, he shares this. He says that the principal came up to Harris III before he performed, and he says this. He says, listen, you're a magic man. You're a guy who tricks people. He goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell my students that the world is out there tricking them into making poor decisions. I want you to do that for me. And he just leaves. And Harris III is like, hey, I'm no motivational speaker. I don't do that. I just do tricks, man. All right. And so, but he thought about it for a minute. And so he goes out to the school assembly. He finishes his act by escaping from a straitjacket. And so think, you know, Harry Houdini, and he's in the straitjacket and he wrestles for quite some time until he victoriously raises up the straitjacket that he's escaped from. And he says these words. He says, listen, when you're trapped by something, he says it can be very, very hard to get out of. And he says this, I don't know what your straitjacket is. He says, I've had my straitjacket. I've battled addiction and depression. He goes, I don't know what your straitjacket is. He goes, but I do know this, there's hope for you and you're going to get out of your straitjacket. And so the assembly ended and he just thought, oh, that was so corny. I was such a failure. You know, I shouldn't have done that. And while he was beating himself up after his motivational talk, that this girl came running down the bleachers with tears just streaming down her face. And she approached Harris III. And she said this, she says, Mr. Harris, she says, I need to give you something. And she says, I want to give you my straitjacket. And with her tears and her hands trembling, she dropped a razor blade in his hand, this razor blade that she had been cutting herself for years. And she says this, that's my straitjacket, and I want to give it to you, and I want to thank you for giving me hope. Listen, that was a game-changing day for him. And here's what I want to tell you, that Jesus is so much more than a magic man. Like, he is the Messiah. And he comes to set people free from their straitjackets. Whatever binds us up, Jesus, the Messiah, has come to set people free. Free from sin, free from addiction, depression, all these different things. But here's the difference. Jesus comes to set you free, then to attach your life to his. He sets you free in order to attach your life to his. See, Jesus isn't interested in a transaction, but he's come looking for a bride, for his people, his church, those set apart, and those he saves, he attaches, he binds his life to them. And so here's what I want to ask. What are you looking for? Do you just want Jesus to bless you and then just keep moving on? Or do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ? What are you looking for? Then here's our third point, and I wanted to highlight this because Peter got it right, didn't he? He says, you are the Christ. But we mentioned this was going to be a very short-lived victory for Peter. And if you remember in Mark chapter 8, I'm going to read the rest of the story, verses 31 to 35 in Mark's gospel. He says this, it says, and he began to teach them, he being Jesus, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And now Peter's not liking that. Listen, messiahs are supposed to rule and reign, not be rejected and beaten and crucified, right? And so, and Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him. Swing and a miss, Peter. You don't rebuke the Son of God. Verse 33, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter. So Jesus is going to make a point here. He says this to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life, and this is the line that wrecked me this week, for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I don't know if you caught that, but Jesus has a sake. Like Jesus, if we'll lose our life, not for our sake, not for what we get on the other end, but for his sake. Like Jesus has a sake, a cause. There's something dear to him. There's something that Jesus wants to fulfill and to do. And do you care about that? Because listen, if I'm going to shoot you straight, there's been moments, too many moments, where I wanted my comfort over Jesus's cause, Jesus's sake. Jesus, yeah, I know this is what you want, but it's going to make me uncomfortable. And so are you cognizant of the fact that Jesus Christ, he has a sake. There's something he wants to do. Do you remember Abraham in your scriptures? He's a pretty big deal. And remember, Abraham was supposed to have the son of promise, and it wasn't going according to his timetable. So what did he do? He slept with his handmaiden Hagar, and so they had Ishmael. And so what does Abraham do? He says, I'm tired of waiting for the son of promise. And he says to God, God, can't you just bless my son Ishmael? And God's like, no. Why? Because God had a cause. God had a plan that was dear to him, that he was working out. But Abraham, he didn't seem to care at that point, did he? He's like, God, I don't care what your plans are. Just bless what I'm doing. In other words, Abraham was saying, God, you follow me. And I got to be honest with you. I've been guilty of doing that, trying to get God to follow my plan. And we see this in Peter. Peter's like, hey, Lord, you're not going to suffer. You're not going to go to the cross. You're not going to go to the grave. And so did you get this? Like they had a little rebuke fest. Peter's like, I rebuke you. And Jesus' like, uh-uh, I rebuke you. And so if you've ever argued with Jesus before, it can be very frustrating. Like, have you noticed that Jesus has a bit of a Messiah complex? Like he actually believes that you and I following him is best for us and for the world. So how dare him for doing that? But yet, when it involves us doing away with our comfort, well, that can be a difficult thing, can it? And so we see that Peter, like time and time again, when it gets difficult and when it gets hard, Peter's going to bail on God. And here's, I told you we were going to get uncomfortable this morning. Like if you quit on God, whenever he asks you to be uncomfortable or it gets hard or difficult, doesn't that reveal something about your relationship with him? Once again, I told you I was going to put you on the spot. So we all remember the horrible, horrible shootings of Aurora, Colorado. I think it was back in July 20th of 2012. Remember, it was the midnight opening of The Dark Knight Rises. And I can remember getting up the day after that and seeing just all over CNN and Fox. And they were talking about this horrific shooting and some crazed guy killed some 12 people, wounded some 70 others as people were watching The Dark Knight Rises. Well, guess who was supposed to see the 11 a.m. showing the next day of The Dark Knight Rises? Yours truly. And so I actually met Pastor Bruce Ho. He helps pastor our church in Manhattan. And we met. We were going to go see The Dark Knight Rises together. And so when we got to the movie theater, cops were everywhere because they weren't sure if there was going to be copycat killers. And so we decided, well, you know, we already paid for our tickets. We're going to the movie. So we got into the movie, and we got about a quarter of a way into the movie when suddenly the lights went out. The film stopped and the theater was deathly black and silent. And so you could just feel like, what in the world is going on? But me being the man of God I am, I immediately went to prayer and I prayed. I was like, God, if there's a crazed killer in here, please take Bruce and not me, because I have children. Okay, God. And so that was your pastor's prayer. Take Bruce, right? But here's what, if you remember the story of the actual shooting, that that night at the midnight viewing of The Dark Knight Rises, that there was a couple there, Jamie Rohr and his girlfriend Patricia, and their two infant children. Why you take infant kids to a midnight showing of The Dark Knight Rises is beside me. But after the shooter kicks open the back door, Jamie roars, dumps the infant kids and his girlfriend, takes off out of the theater, gets in his car, and drives away. By God's grace, another young man rescues Patricia and the kids and gets them out of there. They wind up, Jamie Rohr and Patricia wind up meeting at the hospital in Aurora, Colorado. And what does Jamie Rohr do? Jamie Rohr drops on his knees and he proposes to her. And get this, she says yes. And you hear that and you're like, really? Like, after he abandoned you in your most difficult moment, you're going to say yes to that? And listen, it eerily reminds me of at times my relationship with God, that when life presses me or it gets difficult, man, I want to bail. Or if I get uncomfortable, I want to bail on Almighty God. But here's how gracious God is. Back to our story with Peter. You remember Peter denied Jesus three times, at one point swearing and cursing, I don't know him. And so he denied Jesus when it got hard. But after Jesus rose from the dead, he called Peter back together. And you remember in John chapter 21, as they were sitting around a fire together, Jesus, he would reinstate Peter. He would reaffirm his covenant and his faithfulness to Peter. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes. He says, then feed my sheep. In other words, be about my cause and my purpose. Jesus would do this three times. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Be about my purpose. And then he says this in John chapter 21, verse 18 and 19. Jesus says to Peter, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. In other words, Peter, you would lead you. You would follow you. But he says this, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. So another, now suddenly you're going to be following someone else, Peter, that you're going to be following Jesus. In fact, you will follow Jesus all the way to your martyrdom. Verse 19, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And here's the money line. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. And that is the word of the Lord to us today. See, if you follow Jesus, you're going to love Jesus. And to follow Jesus, you have to obey Jesus. And Jesus says, when you obey me, you love me. And so last time I'm going to ask this morning, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a God that's just going to bless what you're already doing? A God that's going to follow you? Listen, I hate to tell you this, but I don't believe that God exists and Jesus isn't looking for that. But there's some of you, you're looking for the Christ, the one who calls us out of our comfort and into his great and glorious cause. And he says this, you follow me. And if you're interested in following Jesus, the Christ, the unique Son of God, he makes that available to you today. And so I'd like to pray for you if you'd like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want a true Savior. Now, if you're looking for John the Baptist, a sage and not a Savior, this prayer is not for you. If you're looking for a magic man and not the Messiah, this prayer is not for you. If you're looking for someone to fear rather than to follow, this prayer is not for you. But if you're looking to follow God's one and only Son, this prayer is for you. And so would you join me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you come and you've come to rescue me from my sin and from my trespass. I confess I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Give me the strength to follow you. I thank you and love you. In Jesus' name. And everyone that prayed that prayer said, come on, a big, hearty amen. Well, listen, that's the end of our sermon, but we're not done this morning because I do want to do this. And last week we completed our Multiply Financial Giving Campaign. And I would just like to share, these are the unofficial results. We raised, you ready? $11,500. And I could not be more proud of our church. It's been a very, very difficult year, but yet even in your difficulty that you sacrificially gave unto the Lord, and God's going to do great things in and through your giving. Here's the great news. Do you know what? It costs about $6,500 to sponsor one child at New City Kids for a year. And you and I are able to now sponsor that one child for an entire year. In the Talmud, it's a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. It says this. I'd like to read it to you. I think it's appropriate. And in the Talmud, Jewish rabbis say this, that whoever destroys one life, it's as though he destroyed the whole world. And he says this, and whoever saves one life, it's as though he has saved the whole world. Listen, you and I have made a difference in one child's life at New City Kids. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And as well, I want to remind you that if you're a member of Every Nation New Jersey, or if this is your church, we can be faithful in our tithing. Tithing is just the first tenth of everything we receive in. We believe it belongs to Jesus, and we give it back to him in the form of the tithe. And or if our church has been a blessing to you, and you would like to partner with us in our mission, in our ministry, in getting the gospel of God out, we just appreciate all your gifts. And there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. Just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. Or you can mail in your gift to 101 Gibraltar Drive right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you give. Listen, Every Nation, God loves you. And listen, I think you're pretty awesome too. God bless you and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.